Matt Salmon, host for Tampa Bay Lightning Radio, joins us. Matty, how are you?
I'm doing well. Jason, how are you today?
Hey, I'm good. A little jealous. Game 7 is always a great atmosphere. Is it confirmed? Is it Lickie out for sure?
It certainly sounds that way. They're not official with the cause of that, but I've heard a concussion. Not sure when that happened in Game 6, but yeah, the Red Wings down a couple defensemen going into tonight's game, so we'll see if the Lightning can exploit that or if the Wings rally around it. That just sets up one other interesting little story going into tonight's game.
So with both of them out, who's going to be the two defensemen coming in?
Well, it'll be Jakob Kindle, who's apparently been in Mike Babcock's doghouse for weeks now, so now's a good time for him to come in. And also Marchenko, who was in games 1 and 2 and did not play extremely well. Lightning were able to exploit his weaknesses. You saw Marchenko sit out when Abdelkader came back in game 3. So that's what they're looking at heading into tonight's game.
Obviously, Cronwall is a major loss. He's the the most physical defender they have. He's the most experienced defender that they have. How do you expect John Cooper to try to take advantage of that with line combinations tonight?
Well, I think he's really – Coop is leaning on the triplets line of Johnson, Kucherov, and Palat in all situations, regardless of if Cronwall is in the game. In fact, Elliot Friedman had a very interesting note in his 30 Thoughts column about a Game 6 time on ice. That line of Johnson, Kucherov, and Palat got most of it. Stamkos' line was a little less. And Coop's going with the guys that he feels comfortable with. So is there going to be a tremendous shift in game planning and line matching and all that? I don't think so. We know that if the Lightning plays its game, and especially if it can control things 5-on-5, they have a much better chance of winning. And we've seen in this series, games 2, 4, and 6, or at least the last 5 minutes of game 4, when they're playing their style of hockey, regardless of who's on the ice in this matchup, they're going to be 9 times out of 10, they're going to win that matchup.
Steven Stamkos in quite the goal-scoring drought.
Yeah, and, a lot of fingers were pointed at him earlier in the series, and for some good reason. I mean, he has struggled in this series. He says he's not hurt, so you'll have to take his word for it. And, there's still lots of other guys that need to come through and score. I think we saw that in Game 6. Alex Killorn coming up with a huge goal late in the third period. The defense, too. The defense wasn't really able to activate with scoring much outside of Game 2. We saw that with Jason Garrison in Game 6. I go back to the 2004 Stanley Cup run for the Lightning, and God bless us if we can get that far this year as well. But I remember the opening series against the Islanders. It was a 5-game series, and Vincent LeCavalier just did absolutely nothing. You could not find him on a radar in that series. And there were a lot of people wondering, well, is LeCavalier going to come through and pull through with a big goal? That's what we're expecting from this young kid. He didn't in that first series, but he did in the next series against Montreal, which turned out to be a 4-game sweep. So hopefully Stammer can come up, if not with a big goal, some big plays tonight. And if the Lightning's fortunate enough to advance to the next round, maybe it's just a different matchup, a different scenario, different team that the Lightning's had success with against Montreal. Hopefully in that scenario, he'd be able to shine, but got to get through tonight, and he's in the right places a lot, but give some credit to Detroit, too. They've shut him down for the most part, and even though he's gotten some good looks, Peter Mrazek's come up with some saves at key times, too.
Well, Mrazek's been unbelievable for the Detroit Red Wings this entire series. I have to say he's outplayed Ben Bishop, and going into the series, no one expected that. Bishop was good in Game 6, but for the first 5 games, he had like a .900 save percentage, which is very not good for an elite starting goaltender in the postseason. And I know it's a short cycle of only 5 games, but the harsh reality of the playoffs, Matt, like, your goaltender's got to be better. Like, I think they've got to get their best from Bishop tonight.
Oh, without a doubt. You have to get your best because, as you know, I mean, this is Game 7. You don't have a chance to make it up tomorrow. You don't have a Game 8 to make it up against. You've got to put out your best game tonight. And I think Bishop, for the most part, throughout the series, has been pretty good. The problem is that when there's the occasional goal that he allows, the Glendening goal in game one, a prime choice there. It's a little fluky, the one that he batted into his own net in game four. But there have been some games, even in game six, it was the first goal, which came off of a Detroit faceoff win, seemed to just sneak under the leg pad there. And Bishop, it's a learning process for him, too. This is his first go at the NHL playoffs, his first go at a Game 7. But he's going to have to stop everything tonight. At the other end of the ice, while I think Mrazek's been pretty sharp throughout this series, also in a couple of games, I have to say, the Lightning didn't really test him. The Detroit defense was able to keep the Lightning pretty much on the perimeter for a lot of opportunities. Not too much traffic in front of the net for second and third chances. You look at the goals that the Lightning has scored, a lot of them have either been scored on the rush, odd man situations, which again the Lightning is just in that scenario probably going to beat you, but also with some traffic in front of the net. If you just let Mrazek see all these shots from 40 feet out and he's going to swallow him up or kick him out to the side without any trouble. And I think that sums up some of Mrazek's performance in this first round.
Matt Salmon joins us, Tampa Bay Lightning radio host. They take on the Detroit Red Wings tonight, Game 7. We were talking about most memorable Game 7s. A lot of people brought up, of course, Tampa 2004 against the Calgary Flames when Fedotenko scored a pair of goals to win that one. Experience, people always talk about certain guys have games experience, other teams don't. It can matter. Detroit, obviously, with Datsyuk and Zetterberg, who's been very good in clinching games historically for the Red Wings. Obviously, they've got that. But, that whole blue line, when you look at how revamped it is now with Zidlicky and Cronwall out of the lineup, this has got to switch, I think, even more heavily in favor of Tampa Bay, doesn't it?
You would think so, but if you're a Lightning player, you want to be careful to not think that, just because two of their defensemen are out, we've got this one in the bag. That was a little bit of the scenario after games two and games four, where there should have been some momentum carrying over after some big wins, yet for some reason the team didn't come out with a lot of energy and a lot of passion in both games. And really the key is, and we've seen this throughout this series, if the Red Wings get the lead, then they just clamp things up, notoriously get their interference hands out and start slowing things down a little bit. I'm not saying that the Red Wings score first tonight, that's the end of the game, but it's going to be tight out there to begin with, and if the Lightning can play with the lead, it's a completely different game if Detroit has to play catch-up. And Detroit hasn't had to play catch-up all too much in this series, but when they've had to, they haven't done extremely well. So the Lightning will try to exploit the lineup changes for the Red Wings. And the Wings are going to rally around the Cronwall suspension and the Zidlicky concussion as well. There are professionals in that room and guys who have played in Game 7s and have won Stanley Cups in Game 7s. Going back to 08 and 09, I know they lost to Pittsburgh, but guys who know what it's like to be on both ends of the spectrum of a Game 7. So even though they're tactically going to be hurting a little bit from the absences of both of those defensemen, you kind of get a little, I wouldn't say scared, but you kind of go, when you look over there and realize who else is on the ice, and you can't take them lightly. You can't just assume that this game is a cinch just because they're missing two of their top players.
No, definitely not. Kucherov, is he fine to go for tonight?
Yeah, he's ready to go. I know that's part of the reason why that surprised some people about the suspension, but thankfully no worse for wear, as he is a key part to that second line, and we need some goals from him. Like I said, it's beyond Steven Stamkos. You need guys like Kucherov and Callahan and Cedric Paquette, guys to come up with some big moments tonight as well.
Any lineup changes for the Bolts?
Not that we're aware of. John Cooper did say that 21 players will skate in the pregame warm-up, but I would just have a hunch that you're going to see 11 forwards and 7 defensemen. Your odd man out will be either JT Brown or Brendan Morrow, and whichever one stays in is on a fourth-line combination with Brian Boyle.
Do you think Morrow, because of his experience, will get the longer straw tonight?
I would expect that, and also because it is likely going to be a very tight game. You want the guy who's got the experience. You want the guy that's got a little bit more muscle, and that's nothing against JT Brown. It's just this is the whole reason why Brendan Morrow was brought in here on the ice for a situation like this, but certainly off the ice as well, just kind of settling things down. And I think you've seen that not just in Morrow, but Boyle, Anton Strahlman, even Callahan, you know, guys that have gone deep before, just kind of settle things down. You know, game seven, until you play in it, you don't know exactly what you're in for. But getting to game seven, you know, that tough game five loss, rallying the troops for game six, guys like Brendan Morrow have certainly centered that, and he's been a voice of reason in the room, and hopefully he's a good presence for the Lightning tonight on the ice.
Jason Garrison missed the first three games of the series because he got injured late in the year, I think in mid-March. Came back, he's been in the last three. The first game that kind of eased him in with only 14 and a half minutes, but he's got 2 points in three games. How, like, points aside, how has he looked? Has he made that much of an impact?
Yes, he has. Actually, you know, what he's been able to do is give John Cooper that option to go 11-7. The surprising star on the blue line is Nikita Nesterov, not only because defensively he's held his own, but the rookie has also been a key cog in the power play. And I know you're probably looking at the power play stats and going, well, there's not much to talk about there, but you know, he was the leading scorer for this team in the first three games. But Gary has come back in. He has remained a steady presence on the blue line, especially with Braden Coburn, who he's been paired with, and he says that he feels fine. Fortunately, I think some of the breaks in between games late in the regular season and going into the playoffs helped him recover a little quicker, because you were originally looking at maybe he wouldn't come back until around this point in time, but he's played solid, and he's another one of those guys that kind of takes control on and off the ice and brings a good calming presence, and certainly a great addition to have back on the ice, and he has contributed. Points aside, he's not out there when Detroit's scoring goals, and that's a good sign.
Matt, enjoy the game tonight.
Will do, and hopefully we'll be talking about another round here in the next couple days.
Well, if Tampa wins, a lot of people might pick them to beat Montreal. They've owned them in the regular season, so we'll see what happens. Appreciate your time.
We'll see you. Thanks again, Jason.